All right, good morning. I move this over a little bit. From the middle, there we go. You guys look wet.
That's a little.
Still wet from last night? All right, hope you had a good time out there. I didn't get to get out there and watch any of the games here this morning, but Water Day's fun. Let's go to 1 John this morning. I want to do something a little bit different here. Just want to walk through a passage of Scripture together. And I've been studying through 1 John and would love to just some things I've been thinking about and working through. And I've the last couple of days been arguing a bit with the Lord because this passage is in my heart. I feel like the Lord wanted me to preach on it, and I feel like the Lord is just not ready to preach on it yet. I'm still working through this and how to articulate things and all that. But the Lord just wouldn't let me go anywhere else for us here this morning. So we're going to look here at 1 John and chapter number 1. How many of you have ever been in a situation where it was dark, and I mean really dark, like so dark you really couldn't see your hand in the front of your face? All right? I'm sure we could tell stories about that time. I was trying to think of those types of things in my... I know I've had several experiences like that. One of them, I was with a group of staff members from the church I was serving at the time. And we were we went to visit what they call the Cave of the Mounds in Wisconsin. And it's this big old cave underground. And we went under there and got to tour that cave, which was certainly an interesting thing to see. How many of you have ever been in like a real big cave? Okay, so you understand what I'm saying. You go down there, and of course, they had it all set up for tourists to come through, so there's, you know, a path to walk on and all those kind of things. But you get to a certain point kind of deep underground, and I think they do this in most cave tours probably, but they did it for us on this one anyway, where they took and they said, all right, ready, we're going to flip the lights off. And they flipped the lights off, and there was... You couldn't see anything. And normally when it's dark, you know, your eyes kind of adjust to the dark after a little bit and you can see fairly well. I was waiting for my eyes to do that and they didn't. Because there was literally no light penetrating at all. Now thankfully all they had to do was flip the light back on, right? Because if we had had to go through that, I didn't have a flashlight with me, anything like that. And you know, the guide did, but we had to try to go through that. What would we have been doing in darkness like that? We're literally, I'm like this, and I cannot see anything. You're stumbling around. There's no way I was going to get out of that cave. Probably going to hurt myself, right? Because you're walking in darkness. Well, here in 1 John chapter number 1, the Lord uses this picture of walking in light versus walking in darkness to help us understand the dynamics of the Christian life. And going into even chapter number 2, he continues, I think, to use that illustration. But God's calling us to walk in light. If you want to walk and move forward in your Christian life, you want to have a relationship with God, then God's calling you to walk in the light. And I want us to think about what that means in one particular area here this morning. I'd like to begin reading in 1 John chapter number 1. Here we have kind of John's introduction as he starts this letter off, and he says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." All right, somebody tell me, what is John talking about here? That which was from the beginning, what they've heard, they've seen, they've touched. What is he talking about? Does anybody know? Any guesses? Jesus. Yes? Who said that? All right. Good. That's exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus Christ himself. Now, he says here, he uses the term the word of life. But remember, this is John writing. Do you remember John chapter 1, the first chapter of the Gospel of John? What does John say there? In the beginning was the word. And then you go a little later in the chapter, it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there, John uses this term, the word, to describe Jesus Christ to us. And when he uses the term the word, it helps us understand Jesus is the revelation of God to us. Okay, the word of God, the written word that we have, was written, yes, not just as an instruction manual for us on how to live, though certainly there's those dynamics there, but the first and foremost reason that God gave us the word of God was to reveal himself to us. And so the Word of God reveals the person of God to us. So every time that you interact with the Word of God, young person, remember, it's not just to learn information, and it's not just to try to, you know, find some neat truth or a good principle to live by. Those are all things that we can find in the Word of God. But when we open the Word of God, remember, first and foremost, I'm coming to this Bible to say, what does this reveal to me about God? What can I learn of who He is? Because that's what the Word of God is for. It reveals to us the very person of God. That's the written word. Well, Jesus is the living word. Okay, he was in human flesh. What did he come to do? He came, yes, to die for our sins, but to reveal the person of God. You remember in John chapter 14, what the disciples, they say, hey, show us the Father, and it suffices us. We'll be satisfied with that. Can you just give us a little glimpse of God, of the Father? And Jesus looks at them and says, have I been with you such a long time and yet you don't know? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus, the living Word of God, right? He as well came to reveal to us the person of God. And so if we want to get to know God the Father, of course, the Trinity is hard for us to wrap our mind around. But if we want to get to know, you know, God the Father, he says, we'll get to know Jesus. And you'll understand who God is in a greater way so we can look at the person of Jesus. And he says here, okay, so I want to tell you here about this word of life, about Jesus himself. He says, listen, I've interacted with him, right? I've seen him with my eyes. I've heard his voice with my ears. And we think, boy, that would be awesome, wouldn't it, to actually see Jesus in that way physically here on earth? That'd be a wonderful thing. He says, well, I have. He says, I can tell you Jesus is real. I've experienced him for myself. And look at verse number 2. He says, for the life was manifested. That means it was revealed. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. That's another name for Jesus, by the way, the eternal life. But the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Just listen, I'm talking to you about Jesus here. And now look at verse number 3. This is all just introduction for us to hear where we're going. It says, that which we have seen and heard, still talking about Jesus, says, that declare we unto you. I'm going to tell you about it. And here's why. He says, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And listen, I want to tell you about Jesus. Right in 1 John, he says, here's what I'm doing. I'm here to tell you about Jesus and a relationship with him. How to have fellowship with him, how to walk with him, how to live in an actual real friendship. We don't use the word fellowship, we use the word fellowship, and we usually, doing that, we're talking about like, hey, we're going to have a meal together, and everybody brings some food, and we're going to fellowship, or it's after the church, and we're just, after the service, and we're just going to talk with one another. That's fellowship, right? Well, fellowship is like a Bible word for friendship. That's what it is. Friendship around a common bond, and that bond is Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, listen, I want you to learn to live a life of friendship, yes, with other believers. But if you really have friendship with other believers, you know what that friendship is all wrapped up in? Friendship with God, with Jesus Christ. And so he says, I want you to enter into a real, living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why I'm giving you this truth. That's why I'm talking to you about Jesus, so that you can, yes, know that you're on your way to heaven, but not just know that you're going to heaven, not just have eternal life in that sense, but so that you can actually know God now. So you can actually experience God on this planet, not just when you get to heaven. That's his heart for you. He wants you to have, he says, listen, I've touched Jesus. I know what a real relationship with Jesus is like, and I want you to have that relationship too. So he says, that's why I'm writing you. I want you to have that relationship. Oh, in verse number 4, there's another reason he's writing this to us. Do you see it? It says, in these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. That your joy might be full, overflowing, filled up and spilling over. You might have real overflowing joy. Well, listen, everyone in the world is chasing happiness. Right? We all want happiness. And people go to all sorts of different things to find happiness, to find joy. They think, God, this is going to give me pleasure, and this is going to give me This is new and exciting. That'll give me some joy. That'll give me some fulfillment. We're chasing it all over the place. He says, listen, you want to know where you can have real overflowing joy? A relationship with Jesus. Now, I know that sounds cliche, and some of you say, yeah, okay, whatever. But it's really true. Not just because I say it, but that's what John is telling you. The guy who actually knew Jesus, he said, listen, there's nothing better. There's nothing that brings greater joy than a relationship with Jesus. And not in word, but in reality, a relationship with Jesus. Okay, so this is why he's writing. Then we come to verse number 5. He says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Okay, so it's the message we've heard from Jesus. He says, and now I'm passing that message on to you here today. Here it is, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He says, all right, I want you to have a relationship with Jesus. There's no other way to have joy, fulfillment in life. But if you want to live that relationship with him, if you want to experience that joy that he wants to give to you, here's what you need to know. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, what does that mean? You say, okay, God's light, no darkness at all. Sure, fine. What on earth? What's the point? Well, he's using darkness and light here certainly as a physical concept in our mind to help us just think through the reality. So God is right in every way. There's nothing wrong in him. Right? God, light reveals. And so God is someone who reveals himself. He doesn't hide from us. God is truth. He's not lies. And actually, that's the contrast he's going to expand on here in the next verses, which is where we're going here. But I want us to see, he then is going to say, listen, goes through this. He says, Nelson, I want you to walk in the light. You've got to walk in that light. If you're going to walk with God, you have to walk in the light because God is light. So you can't walk with God without walking in the light. There's no other alternative. Which brings us to the emphasis of our time here this morning. So we look at the next verses, verses 6 through 10, and a little bit into chapter 2 as well. That walking in the light is walking in honesty about our need for Jesus. Walking in the light is walking in honesty about our need for Jesus. Now, there's multiple dynamics of a walking in the light and perspectives we could look at. And we could look, that's here in chapter number 1. If we go into chapter number 2, we could see there, starting verse number 3 and down to verse number 6, that walking in the light is walking in obedience, like we talked about yesterday, keeping his commandments. That's certainly a dynamic we see there. Then we could go a little further in chapter number 2, see walking the light is walking in love for one another. That's certainly a dynamic. Okay, we go a little further down. Walking the light is walking in truth and loyalty to Jesus. Absolutely. But here, in this, I want us to begin by these foundational principles that he gives here of walking in the light is walking in honesty about our need for Jesus. I want you to look at something here. And again, this isn't like a super formal message, you know, that I put. I don't feel like my outline's very good or very organized. I'm sorry about that. All right. We're just going to walk through the passage here together. But I want you to notice something here, and this is kind of where our outline comes from, the little outline that we have. Hey, look at verse number 6. What are the first three words that you see there? Read them out loud. If we say, okay. Look at verse number 8. What does it say? If we say, oh, okay, let's look at verse number 10. What does verse number 10 say?
If we say.
Oh, isn't that interesting? And here what John is doing is he's highlighting several different kinds of people or different mindsets that we can have when it comes to a matter of our view of sin, our view of our need for Jesus. And he says, hey, this is one way people think about it. But that's not the right way to think about it. If you look at, it says verse number 6, if we say, that's the first words, but verse number 7, but if we, right? Verse number 8 is if we say, verse 9, if we. So he's responding, he said, this is how many people think this way about sin and their need for Jesus, but this is how you need to think. All right, are you tracking with me? Are you following okay? Is this too technical for us? Okay. All right. And by the way, this is helpful just from when you're studying the Bible. Look for things like this that repeat itself, because it helps you understand the flow of thought that the author was writing, as the Spirit of God inspired him to write, and helps us as we study. You look for some of those patterns, and it can help you see those things. All right, so what we see here are different mindsets, different ways of thinking that we have. So I want to look at those. Here's the first one that I see here. Verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, speaking Jesus, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Remember we talked yesterday about being deceived. Remember that? Well, here we're looking at other ways we can be deceived. That we can deceive ourselves in so many ways. In fact, it uses those very words, deceive ourselves, in verse number 8. But if we say that we have fellowship with Jesus and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. This is the mindset I'm going to call the tolerator mindset. The tolerator. This is somebody who says, all right, no, I'm walking with God, but I have this area of darkness in my life. An area where there's something wrong, something that's not right, something that we know this grieves God. We say, I've got that, but I still love Jesus. We tolerate things that in our life that ought not be tolerated. And this is the diagnosis that he gives to us. He says, listen, that's you. If you say, I'm living in a relationship with Jesus. Yeah, I'm walking with him. But you're still tolerating sin in your life because you're deceived. You're lying. That's not the truth. You're not living the truth. You're living a lie. Because you're not actually walking with Jesus. That's his diagnosis. And we don't like that, but that's what it says. And some of you have convinced yourself that you can be a decent Christian and indulge in sinful habits at the same time. You've told yourself, listen, I know that I live selfishly in this area over here, but I really do love Jesus. I really do. And what John is saying, he's saying, no, you don't love Jesus. You love yourself. No, you're not walking with Jesus. You're walking in darkness. Because remember, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so if I'm walking in darkness in an area of my life, if I have something that I'm keeping hidden, that I'm refusing to let it be in the light, I'm holding on, tolerating that which is wrong, which God says ought not be in the life of a believer, I'm choosing that darkness, then I am not walking with him in the light. You can't have it both ways. You can't walk in darkness and walk in the light simultaneously. Now listen, you can go through the motions of walking in the light. You sure can. Many people do. But that doesn't mean that you're actually walking in the light. You've deceived yourself. You're not walking in the truth. All right, as a teenager, this was me. I looked like so many, in so many ways, like I was walking light. And I felt like I'm a pretty good kid, a pretty good Christian. I was serving in the church. Every time the door was open, was there. I was there for youth group soul winning, and I was trying to be a leader for right in the youth group, and I sang in the choir, and I played in the orchestra, and I was probably the good kid and not the cool kid. Okay, that was how I was. Did all those things, but you know what? Though I maybe felt good about all that, I was hiding an area of darkness in my life. Where I was regularly looking at filth, stuff I ought not to be looking at. Something I knew grieved our God. And frankly, every time I did it, I said, man, I hate doing this. But yet I want to do it. And nobody knew about it. And so I'd look at junk, and then I'd go and I preach to the youth group. And then I'd look at junk, and I'd stand up, and I'd sing in the choir. And I'd go out soul winning. And maybe people thought that, hey, he's walking in the light. He's got a heart for God. And I want to say I had a heart for God. I mean, there was definitely a part of me that was, I surrendered to God. I knew that's what he wanted. But I wasn't actually walking in a relationship with Jesus. I was doing the stuff I should do. I was memorizing verses, and I was doing devotions, and I was reading those things, you know, writing book reports to get whatever points in the youth group. I was doing all that kind of stuff. I wasn't walking with God. I was just doing the things that we're supposed to do. Because I was tolerating sin, tolerating darkness. I was holding on to an area, refusing to deal with it. And so, I didn't have the reality of a relationship with God. It was all just duty stuff that I should do. And I'm not saying there's no benefit to doing those things that you should do. I'm thankful for those. They're things that when I finally did come to a place where I stepped into the light in that area and stopped holding in darkness, boy, some of those things God was able to use, the things I learned there now, oh, and all of a sudden clicks, and God's able to use that. And not saying there's no value to it, but listen, God doesn't want you to live a life where you're just doing the things without a relationship with Him. Don't just tolerate those things. That's the kind of person He lays out here. Don't be someone who says, I love God. I got a relationship with Him. When you're holding on to stuff. What's the solution that He gives here? He says, listen, if that's you, if you're the tolerator, that's the mindset that you have. Well, I can love God and indulge in this at the same time. He says, no. Look at verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. All that relationship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now we know this verse, right? We often quote this verse all by itself. It's directly connected to the verse before, to this mindset. What's the solution that He gives here? So listen, if you're going to have a relationship with God, you have to walk in the light as He is in the light. Now, how much darkness, as who's in light, as God, so how much darkness does God have? None at all. That's what He just said. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So that's He's saying to us then, so listen, if you're going to have fellowship with Him, you have to walk in the light and only in the light. You can't tolerate any area of darkness. We can't hold on to all of any of that. We have to walk in step with Him in the light, laying hold on His all-sufficient cleansing. All right, we can't pass over. He says here, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Literally, it is cleansing us. You're living in the reality of the fact, hey, listen, I've been made clean by Jesus Christ. And so what He's calling you to do is saying, listen, you need to, listen, if you've been tolerating sin, you need to bring that sin to Jesus. You need to deal with that sin and allow that sin to, listen, this sin, I'm being under the blood. I don't want this to hinder our relationship at all. I'm claiming the fact that Jesus' blood paid for this sin, covers this sin, and I'm not going to tolerate that any longer. I'm not going to hold on to it any longer in my life. Listen, walking in the light is a life of zero tolerance for that which grieves the heart of God. Did you catch that? Zero tolerance for sin. And that's different than how we often think. You know what we often think? Oh, I know this has some immodesty in it, but... I know this game has some violence going on in here, but... God's saying no. No more. No darkness at all. Don't tolerate that stuff in your life anymore. Take the cleansing for the sin you tolerated and choose Jesus. Say, listen, I'm not going to tolerate that anymore. I want Jesus. I want to walk with Him. Romans chapter 13 uses the same picture of light and darkness. Verse number 12, when it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Okay, how do we do that? Well, He goes on and tells us. Here it is. Let us walk honestly, as in the day. You want to walk in the light? Then you've got to be honest about, hey, this is darkness. I've had darkness in my life. This is sin. He says, let us walk honestly in the day. And he says this, not in rioting and drunkenness. Okay, that's dealing with areas of substance abuse. Okay, and I don't know here, but listen. He's saying, listen, alcohol shouldn't be part of your life. Substances that control you, drugs and all this shouldn't be part of your life. Those are works of darkness. Those need to be cast off. Don't tolerate those, even in small ways in your life. Cast those off. Not in rioting and drunkenness. It's not in chambering and wantonness. Those are words. I'm not going to define them specifically, but to say that they're dealing with areas of moral purity. Say, listen, don't tolerate any area of moral impurity in your life. Be that in thoughts, be that in viewing, be that in actions with other individuals, be that in self-gratification. Don't tolerate any of it. That's works of darkness. Those need to be cast off. We need to choose Jesus instead of those things. Put on the armor of light. And it says, not in strife and envying. That's areas of anger, jealousy. So listen, those are works of darkness. Those attitudes you have towards other people. What we talked about last night, the unforgiving spirit, would fit into that category. But a jealousy of others, a frustration with other people. So listen, that's works of darkness. If you want to walk with Jesus, you've got to be willing to deal with those things. Because he said, listen, no darkness at all. But we often tolerate it. Not just a little thing, just a little area. And nobody knows about it. It's a secret. It's not hurting anybody. Unless you don't think so. No, no, it says you can't tolerate that in your life at all. So how do we do that? Well, verse number 14 of Romans chapter 13 goes on. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we could preach a whole message on that verse. And that's not the point this morning, but to realize, listen, Jesus is the one that you need. We're putting on the armor of light. That's Jesus himself. You need a walk with Jesus to keep you from those things of darkness. And you've got to step into the light. Say, I want Jesus. I'm stepping towards Jesus. I need you, Jesus. And right now, I want to take you. But there also is that dynamic. Yes, you need Jesus, but it also says don't make provision for the flesh. And some of you have doors open that let the junk in. You put yourself into positions where, hey, it's easy for you to choose darkness. And say, don't do that. Don't put yourself in a place where it's easy to choose darkness. Put yourself in a position where it's easy to choose Jesus. Or where you're intentionally choosing him. So we've got to deal with it. We can't tolerate zero tolerance. That's what God is calling us to if we're going to walk in the light. We can't have this tolerator mindset that says, well, listen, I can walk with Jesus and have this same time. Can't do it. Can't do it. Won't work. And that's why some of you say, listen, yeah, I've tried walk. I've tried the relationship with Jesus thing. I've tried to have devotions. I tried to, but it just didn't really work. It's just dead. I don't want that. There's no reality there. You know why? Because you never came to a place of zero tolerance of dealing with these works of darkness in your life. And so you're not actually walking with Jesus. So you've got to walk in the light as he is in the light. All right, so that's the first mindset. Tolerate. Now look at verse number 8. Here's another one. He says here, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in. All right? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What is this? All right? I call this the redefiner mindset. The redefiner. What are we talking about here? Okay, this is someone who says that, well, sin isn't actually sin. So, it's someone who says, has all these reasons why what you do is okay, why it's all right. Perhaps you might know it's wrong, but in your mind you've justified it because, well, to you it's not a big sin, it's just a small sin. Maybe you compare yourself to other people. Well, I'm not doing what they're doing over here. I'm just doing this. It's a little thing. No big deal. And so you say, well, this isn't a big deal. This isn't really something that would, you know, cause a problem in relationship with God, if you even think about that. And so you say, well, I don't see a problem with my sarcastic, cutting words towards other people, because you've convinced yourself, hey, this is my personality. Okay, or you don't think it's a problem with the thoughts that you have towards a person of, you know, another gender, whatever, lustful thoughts, because you think, well, it's just how I am. It's just I'm a man. We're all like this. Or I'm a girl. It's just how we all think that way. And you justify it. You say, it's not really sin. And what you've done in so doing is you've made you and your ideas the authority of what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, instead of God and His Word. So though you say that you adhere to the Bible, you make decisions that are contrary to the Bible, because ultimately, you're the authority. And you're inherently selfish, so you don't make decisions that naturally line up with God. Our hearts are deceitful. We don't even realize that this is what we're doing, that we set ourselves up as the authority. Say, no, this isn't sin. No, this is okay. This is fine for me to be in my life. No problem. And we redefine sin. We say this is no problem, even though God has said in His Word it is a problem. You see it? That's the diagnosis. Okay, someone who redefines sin and says it's not really that. Who denies the inherent sinfulness of our nature and sets yourself up as the authority. Well, what's the solution that He gives you? All right, look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, we might preach on this verse more fully a little later in the week. My intention today is simply for you to notice. I want you to notice the words, if we confess our sins. Hey, you know what the word confess means? It literally means to say the same thing. Literally. It's to agree with God. It's to take His definition for sin instead of yours. And so here, if you said, no, I don't think this is a big deal, but God in His Word says, this is sin, then you know what you need to do? You need to agree with God. You need to take His definition for sin instead of yours and say, God, You're right. I am wrong. Even though for a long time, maybe you've said, I don't think it's a big deal. God says it's a big deal, it's a big deal. If God says it's sin, then it's sin. And so if we've had this redefiner mindset where we've said, I don't think this is a big deal, but God says it is a big deal, you know what you need to do? You need to agree with God and take His forgiveness that He promises here in the verse, take His cleansing, and let Him be the authority in your life instead of you. So often, we let ourselves be that authority, and that's why we have all this junk in our life, because we've convinced ourselves this is fine. We've entered into a mindset, we say, well, listen, I like this video game, so I'm going to play it. Instead of stopping and saying, well, how does this video game line up with the principles of God, of God's Word, and with the person of God revealed in the Word of God? How does it actually line up? I know God doesn't specifically address video games in the Bible. They didn't have those yet. But He sure enough gives principles that would apply, and He sure enough reveals Himself to us, which we can apply. What does God have to say about that? We often do not stop to ask that question because we just do what we like doing. We just want what we like. And we make ourselves the authority instead of the Word of God. Listening, saying, listen, if you want to walk in the light, you've got to agree with God. You've got to let Him define what's right and wrong, not you. Instead of just saying, all right, well, listen, I'm in this relationship with this guy because we like each other and we have this connection. Stop. Stop and ask yourself, evaluate, go to the Word of God, say, God, what do You have to say about this relationship? Is this something that lines up with who you are and what you've revealed in Your Word about relationships? Let Him be the authority. See, but if I do that, what if he says, I got to cut this thing off? Well, let him be the authority. You will be better in the long run, trust me. When you live life with you as the authority, you get in a lot of places you wish you never were. Because God's the one who made you. He made this world. He made life. And he made blessing. And so he knows the pathway to blessing. So let him be the authority. Don't be the redefiner. Don't have that mindset. Say, listen, no, I think this is okay. No, what does God say? All right, that's the second mindset. Now, really quickly, we won't have time to look at this fully. The third mindset, verse number 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay, so here, this is someone who says, all right, well, if I sin, yeah, that would be a problem with my relationship with God. Sure. And what God says is sin, but hey, listen, I think I'm all right. This is a self-righteous mindset. This is someone who doesn't even stop to think, doesn't really evaluate, who just has a general thing, I think I'm doing pretty good. And we would never say these words out loud. We wouldn't. But often the way that we live our life, how cavalier, and we just go through life and just kind of do what we do, and we don't actually stop to maybe ask God, Lord, is there anything in my life that grieves your heart? Or is there anything I need to see that's hindering our relationship? We don't stop and do that. And we just kind of go through our life and we think, yeah, oh, today was a good day. We were unkind to that person and we had this wrong thought here. But we just kind of gloss over that because generally it was, I didn't sin. No. What's the solution here? Oh, by the way, it says that when we live with that attitude, we're just cavalier, we're just going through and just not really concerned about that dynamic of our walk with God. It says we make him a liar. It's not just that we deceive ourselves, that we're calling God a liar. And we're refusing to embrace his word. Look at chapter number two, verse number one. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. Now he changes, he just adds a little, inserts a little phrase here just to encourage them. Say, listen, I don't want you to sin. I want you to be able to say, no, I don't have anything between me and God. That's God's heart for you. That's his plan for you. He doesn't want you to live with a wall between you and God. He doesn't want you to live with a dirty conscience. He's made provision so that you don't have to sin. He says, listen, I'm writing to you because I don't want you to have sin in your life. I don't. But notice what he goes on. It says, and if any man sin, if we do, because we still have this flesh in us, the propensity of sin is still there. And so the reality is you are going to at some point until we finally reach glory. We have to be honest about that sinfulness of our heart. Because if we, any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What's he saying here? Listen, when we do sin, we shouldn't just be cavalier, I'm saved, doesn't matter what I do. No, but it does matter what we do. It does. It doesn't change our eternal destiny. It doesn't even change whether or not God loves us. It doesn't at all. God loves us unconditionally. But it can affect our relationship with God, the closeness, the intimacy that we can have, the fellowship that we can have with him. It says, if you do sin, listen, you have an advocate. That means someone who comes alongside, someone who comes and pleads your case before God. And when you do sin, boy, you know, we don't need to feel just bound up and uptight and feel like, I'm an absolute miserable failure. Listen, we need to get right with God. But we need to remember, Jesus stands before the Father and says, no, remember, I paid for that sin. No, you don't need to be angry with your child. I satisfied your wrath, remember? Jesus is actively doing that for you. Because he's the propitiation for the sins of the whole world, and he satisfies the wrath of God that appeases God's wrath. And so when we do sin, we should be conscious and, Lord, I did this for grieving. God, I'm coming to you for your cleansing. Jesus, I need your forgiveness. That grieved your heart, I know. and thank you that right now I can enter right back into a relationship with you. This is the relationship God wants for us. Not one that ignores sin, that thinks of sin as insignificant and little, but a relationship that realizes, no, sin's a real thing, but it doesn't have to stay between me and God. Because Jesus stands before the Father as my advocate. He shed his blood for me, and I can receive that cleansing and walk and live in that cleansing and the relationship with God today. This is walking in the light. You know, ultimately, in all of these, whether it's that tolerator mindset, the redefiner mindset, or the self-righteous, in all of them, you know what Jesus is the answer. Jesus, your cleansing. Jesus, your forgiveness. Jesus, your advocate. Well, if we're going to walk in the light, we have to walk in honesty about our need for Jesus. Ultimately, all of those, I think I'm okay. I can just walk through life like this. But the light, walking in the light, is realizing every day, I need Jesus. In order to live in the light, to stay in the light, I need Jesus. Every moment, every day. Listen, that's not something we should feel ashamed to say. God made us that way. He designed us to need him. It shouldn't be something we feel like, but I'm supposed to be able to do this thing. No, you're not. You need Jesus. You're not supposed to be able to live the Christian life by yourself. You need Jesus. And let the way that you think about sin be something that says, no, I need Jesus today. Don't tolerate it. Zero tolerance. Don't think, well, listen, this isn't a big deal. I think it's okay. No, let him be the authority. And don't just walk through life thinking, well, I'm doing pretty good, I think. No. Let God do that inspecting work in your life. And lay hold on the fact that, boy, I have a Jesus who's forgiven me. And I want to walk in the light with him step by step. May God help us in that. Lord, would you help us take these thoughts from your word this morning? Lord, would you use them in a way that's helpful to life of these other people? Lord, apply them as only you can. And Lord, help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.